Welcome to Songwriter Trysts, an intimate podcast that interviews artists about the art of songwriting and find out more about the life behind the songs. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee and your host for this show. Music saved my life and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. If you're enjoying the show and you want to support the podcast, you can buy us a coffee through the website www.songwritertrysts.com. Welcome to take two of the Songwriter Trysts with Dan Rennie. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. Yeah, take two. Don't you love technology?
I always say, like, when this happens with technology, you just, the first conversation was meant to be just between us.
It's a private tryst. This happened before. Okay,
yeah. Good. And now this is the public tryst.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. I always liked a bit of exhibitionism. So let's start with you as the artist. Tell us, who are you and where do you come from?
Okay, yeah. I'm Dan Rennie, station manager here at 98.9 FM. Done just about every job in the place around here. But originally, my people, Larrakia people, through Northern Territory, Darwin, and connections to Wyndham in WA, which is near Kununurra over there, and also through Broome. But I find myself living here in Meanjin, in Brisbane, but born in Melbourne. Bit of a man about the world.
Yeah, Darwin's beautiful. I've been up there only for one season, but it was stunning. I could go back there.
Yeah, look, and I remember the first time I went back there, I was on a bus and got this, like, feeling in my chest. And I was only a young man. And I thought it was weird. I was like, what is this feeling? And I don't know, I just had the urge. And when I got out of the bus to take shoes off and get in the dirt. And that connection with country, it was just a powerful thing. And you still get that when you go back. Yeah, it's the old people talking to you.
That must be such a beautiful thing to have that connection to the land.
And yeah, it is. And I never thought I'd have it. I didn't think that was something that I thought was only for spiritual people or elders.
We're all spiritual people.
Yeah.
Some of us allow it.
But that was a nice little awakening as a young man to feel that connection that still continues now in my late 30s.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about you as a songwriter as well. But I know that you do so much support and you just give so much to the music community, especially here. Tell me where music started for you and when you wrote your first ever song.
Look, it's always making up stupid little songs when you're younger, and I'm glad those will never.
Do you remember any of them?
Oh, yeah, look, and they were mostly on the guitar. They were just silly little things here and there, and when you're just practicing around at home, you're like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, nothing that you'll hear on Songwriter's Trysts.
No. I had one at uni, it was like, beer, 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 gone. That was the whole song.
Yeah.
Like that. It'll never be released to radio. Yeah. I try not to.
Okay, well, I won't do that. We'll keep it G-rated. But yeah, there was a couple of rude numbers. Yeah. Anyway, your tastes, I suppose, come a little bit more refined.
You were telling me about the records that you listened to with your family when you were younger. Tell me about what you listened to when you were younger.
Yeah, look, Dad always had the record player. I'm cranking and I always loved just holding a record.
Yeah.
And like, it was always like a surprise to read the liner notes and look at the photos. And bands like Pink Floyd and Dylan, The Beatles, Fleetwood Mac, Cat Stevens, like they always had these amazing record covers and they were always like little treasures that you wanted to. And you'd be delicate with it, and you'd be careful, and it teaches you when you're a young person with records a lot of patience and being gentle and respectful of something. And it's a bit of art that you're holding there in your hand, and you pop it on, drop the needle, and you sit there and listen to the entire record. There's no skipping or changing the station. It's just
A lot of love went into it. And you listen to all the songs start to finish.
Yeah, and you find little treasures in it, like hidden tracks. It was all this sort of magic that you just don't have these days in the digital world.
Yeah. No, it's changing. It is changing. So what drew you into getting into playing in bands, and what was it about music that made you decide this was for you?
I think it was that thing about being able to pick up an instrument and have something appear that wasn't there a day ago or 10 minutes ago or however long it took you to write even your corniest little stupid song.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, this is literal magic.
Yeah, it's creating.
There was nothing and now there's
something so therapeutic about creation.
Yeah.
So tell me about, you've released one song.
Yeah.
I have heard this story, but I want to hear it again.
Okay, Paddy McHugh's an artist that I've grown to become really good friends with. Dear friends, in fact. And The first time I saw him perform was at the Gympie Muster probably about 10 years ago. And
it's been going a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. And he got up on stage. There was a big crowd in his tent and I was up the back sort of just listening near the sound, always sit near the sound guy because I always like to, it's the best spot to sit.
Near the sound guy.
Why is it the best
spot? I mean, the sound guy is the most important person in the room as an artist. I love these
guys. Well, that's
guys,
why he's positioned right there because that's where the best sound is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, I remember that next time I go to a gig.
Yeah, always hang around the sound guy.
Yeah.
Don't give him any tips, though, whatever you do.
Don't give him any tips. No, you'll get punched.
Thrown out. You'll be asked to leave the concert.
Okay.
And he got up there, the first song, and walked out and he said, "Hi, I'm Paddy McHugh, and this is a song about Aboriginal genocide." And I was sitting at the back, as I said, near the sound guy, and there was a table of 4 or 5 drunk dudes. This was, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And
as you
I said, "I'm not listening to this shit." And got up and left. And I was like gobsmacked. I was just thought to myself, these gentlemen, these fellas, they didn't even give Paddy the time of day. They had this preconceived idea of, you know, what they think Paddy should be singing about or what anyone should be talking about, and and didn't even give him 3 minutes. They didn't give him a chance. And I told Paddy that story afterwards and he said, "Good, I don't want him at my show." But I say to myself, these are the people that needed to hear that, you know.
And that's why we talk about it and sing about it and create stuff about it, because we need to talk about stuff. Like we said earlier, if you don't talk about what's going on and you don't speak up, nothing will ever change.
Well, after those formative years of listening to protest songs of Bob Dylan and Cat Stevens and these types of people, I graduated and fell in love with music like NWA and Ice Cube, and Rage Against the Machine was a huge influence in my teens. Man, I was just taken by this message about what the band was saying, and in such a powerful way as well. So that was a big part of my youth. Let me start with Cooper Jai Walker and Deirdre Shorty with someone's daughter, Nathan Reynolds and Melissa Dunn, Eddie Russell, someone's son, Malcolm Smith and Roy James Boney, Joyce Clark who was someone's honey, Tony Chatfield and Bradley Coolwell, Monty Salt who was someone's uncle, Bruce Leslie, Maureen Mandajara, Milton Wells who was someone's father, Clarence Neen, Veronica Baxter, Muriel Binks, someone's mother. People are surprised when I say that. They're like, "You weren't listening to country music growing up?"
Neither was I.
Not really. I was listening to the Eagles and a lot of the Beatles and those types of things. But country music, of course, was in my life, you know. I had Charlie Pride and I had these other bands that I was listening to.
More than me.
But, yeah, country music was more a profession thing when I got into radio than my first love.
Yeah. I don't even know what country music was. I thought it was spanking spoons
and
line dancing down around some hay bales.
E-hole.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Grab the hay bale and the cowboy hat.
Yeah. There's something about country music. I found them when I was at my lowest point in country music. I think country music found me and picked me up when I needed someone else to pick me up. I couldn't stand on my own anymore.
Well, I think people were listening to country music and not even realising it.
Yeah.
There were so many bands considered, I suppose, not in that country realm in those days. But you look at country music now and you've got everything from Florida Georgia Line to Cult of War.
People are country, but they won't say they're country as well, because I think it's like saying you're a Christian or you're something else. It's you're labelling yourself and then it might be a dirty word to someone else, so you turn them off, but I don't know.
Not anymore. I've seen a big shift.
It has been a big shift.
A massive shift, in particularly the last sort of 5 years, and I think country is cool again.
Yep. I found it in the last 5 years. 2015 was when I was educated on country music.
Yeah.
And I've been kicking everyone else in the butt going, "Have you heard what country music really is?"
Yeah. And I wouldn't put Florida Georgia Line at the front of the list. You know, there is an appetite for that and there is a need for that, because, you know, what that does is it allows people who sit on the fence to go, "Okay, yeah, I could probably get into this." And then you transition to a Lady Antebellum or whatever the case may be, and you've automatically, you're a country music fan because you were drawn into this and you found this.
Yeah, and there's something there for everyone, which,
not really for me though. It's
no, really, I don't know. I just love the storytelling and its real connectedness. There's music that we turn off to and people just want to get drunk and dance and lose, and you want to lose, and everyone needs to be able to turn off and lose yourself at some point, but it's also good as a medium to connect to a deeper level of ourselves, I think.
Yep.
And that's the stuff that I die for. So tell me about this song that you and Paddy wrote.
Yeah, well, as I said, I've always been a big fan of Paddy's music and we became great friends, and we were discussing, just as we do, we had a lot of conversations, and one was about the disparity in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths in custody. And when we look back, it's 30 years since the Royal Commission into deaths in custody, and nothing much has changed. You know, people still continue to lose their lives in prison cells by the hands of those who are there to protect. And that's not justice in my world and for many others. And I do get a lot of people come at me and say, you know, all these people weren't murdered, and that's fair. If you're a sick individual, you belong in a hospital, not a jail cell. And if you're someone suffering mental health problems, you need to be in an institution, not a jail cell. So these are the unfortunate events that continue in this country, and Patty and I were keen to shed a light on it in a way that might not get heard otherwise. There's some people that won't read the paper or seek out these reports, but we put it in a song. We contacted all the families of the names that we mentioned in the song, and 100% of them were on board and understood why we were doing it. It wasn't for any kind of notoriety for Patty or myself or for any other reason other than to be a tribute to those who lost their lives and to raise awareness and education through song. Barbara tears, need a blanket, but nothing to see here. It's Douglas Scott and Greg Dunlop. Faith Barnes, I'll keep on going. It's Harrison Day, Trevor King, and Charlie Michael. It ain't nothing, cause I got more. Like Alistair Riversley, Charlie Highlights, just too easy. It's Barbara Yarrin, and Christine Jones, and Roy Walker. And on it goes, and Daniel York, and Sheldon Cullen, and Dixon Green. Or someone stop me.
Yeah.
Because I think the music is a great tool for education. Absolutely. Like I said to you, my early years were all about going, oh, wow, you can change the world with a song, and you can do it.
You can. I believe that. Something so magical about music. And you can say stuff in music that maybe you can't necessarily say in public. Because it's just art, and it's interpreted. What's the word?
Interpreted?
Interpreted.
Interpretated, though. That's pretty cool.
It's interpreted, however you want to interpret it. But it's beautiful to see people saying their truth on a deeper level in music that can then just be taken however people want to take it. And you can either listen to it and you can learn from it, or you can just enjoy it as a song, or you can not like it. You said, Patty, those guys just wanted to walk away, and it's like, all right, wasn't the right time for them. Everyone's on their own journey. It'll get there eventually. It'll get to the right people, and people who need to hear will hear it. Yeah, I believe it's a beautiful thing that we have the privilege to be able to do. So what do you want people who hear this song to know or feel or do?
Look, a lot of the response from mainstream has been, I had no idea that this goes on, and that's for many reasons. Often it's a dirty secret here in this country, and in fact the bloody history of this country is a dirty secret. We don't any of the frontier wars history in this country. We in fact celebrate our national day the day it was invaded. Like, there's a whole lot of really disgusting things in this country that you can be ashamed of your history here in this country. You're allowed to be ashamed and say, I'm sorry, and I made mistakes, or we've got a big problem with that. I feel people, and I know in the first yarn we had, we discussed about people being comfortable saying they don't know.
Yeah.
Or putting their hand up and saying, I made a mistake, and copping it. Look, that's a bigger person.
A lot of us have to. Because I know when I was at school, just a lot of this stuff wasn't taught.
No, really, and it's, so and no it's still...
It's all about Captain Cook. That's about it.
Well, yeah, history in this country begins in 1788 to the 97% of the population. But you're dismissing 65,000 plus years of amazing culture and history that you're all invited to be a part of if you only just take the time.
Yeah, and it's ignorance is something that we all have in some area, and it's okay. It's part of being human.
It's okay to not know. If you go a day without learning something, it's a pretty boring day.
Yeah. I think, what do we say? If everyone knew everything, this whole place would be so boring.
It would.
This is why we're here. We've got to connect.
We're full of know-it-alls.
Yeah. Please don't pretend everything.
You don't need to.
Boring. And you don't need to. There's no one ever expects anyone to know everything, and that's just, it's okay. You just seek the truth. And if you keep seeking the truth and keep acting on the truth and have fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
How nice is it to one of those surprises to go, oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah. I love that. Sometimes it comes at the worst times. I didn't know that you can't drive through a pothole on a rainy day.
Well, come on. That's a bit of common sense there, really.
It becomes common sense once things happen. Sometimes we learn and it's not easy, but every opportunity and everything that happens can be taken as a lesson. Mm. And it's a good way to live life. What about co-writing? Because you co-wrote this song with Patty. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, it was truly, it came as a surprise to me because, you know, I always hear
your
about...
Your first one.
Your first one. Always hear about people. Like, I just thought songwriting was something you do in private and then, you scribble it out and you start again and, or you throw it out and come back to it later. But
don't ever throw anything out.
Yeah, I've come to
it. Goes in the boneyard.
Yeah.
have another section on your piece of paper
and
call it the boneyard. And all your ideas go there.
All right.
And you don't have to necessarily use it, but then next time you're writing your next song, you can go back to your boneyard and
pick something out of the boneyard.
Yeah,
like it. Yeah. Yeah, so I was fascinated. I was, why do you need, why can't you just write your own song? Why do you need But then it became very clear that it's a give and take process. Again, it's one of those things that you don't know everything. And
It's like when you're with a lover, like, you can have fun on your own, but it's so much better when you're with
Yeah, it's a good analogy, 100%. So, yeah, it's one of those things where I might be stuck here and you've got something for me and it's give and take and it's a really beautiful, magical thing. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, no, it's a nice thing to be able to do with people. And I think just about every song these days is co-written. I got to speak with Kevin Welch and he wrote Millionaire for Chris Stapleton.
Mm.
And he was the only song in the charts, which was in the charts for ages, that was the solo writer. Like every other song, like I think it's like common to have 12 songwriters.
That I don't.
It's a bit ridiculous. I get overwhelmed with more than 3 or 4.
Oh, okay, you've done 3 or 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I love it. I'm doing it more and more. Trying to bring in a bit of Nashville into Australia.
Right.
That collaboration and working together, you don't have to do everything on your own kind of attitude.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it is good. All right. I also asked you about the best advice you've ever been given. And you had some cracker advice. So see if you can remember, remember what it was.
Before our computer crashed. Yeah, a long time ago I was told by an auntie that you have to be yourself and you have to trust in the things that you feel inside you and be confident and don't care what other people think about you. Mm-hmm. And when that light bulb went off, it was, why do I give a shit about what this person says about me online or thinks about me?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I really don't care. And the more time you spend caring about what other people think about you, there's less time for you to enjoy your life and have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Waste of time.
Enjoy your life. Don't be bogged down by the little things. The little things that are out of your control. I can't control what you think about me, nor can you control what I think about you.
Oh, I thought I was under your spell.
Yeah. So look, the moral of that story is have fun. Enjoy your life. Don't sweat the little things. And once you start doing that, man, you're going to be free.
Be yourself. I think it took me a long time to realize that my self-worth comes from within and no one else, like not my partner or husband or my kids or friendships or whether people like my music or not. So I'm the only one that I should care about as about how do I think about myself? Do I love myself or do I hate on myself? And once I got to that sort of self-awareness, I realized that no one else actually really cares about me as much as I care about myself. So I should just start loving myself and then do it anyway and make a ton of mistakes. It's the best thing that you'll ever do in your life, I reckon.
Well, you learn way more from your mistakes than you do your success.
I definitely do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely learned to laugh at myself early on, especially public speaking and trying to say weird words like interpretator.
Interpretator.
But that's okay. All right, what about if we go back in time and we talk to Dan Rennie, who is playing guitar, learning drums, loving life, loving Bob Dylan.
Mm.
He's, you know, really keen on the world and music but doesn't know where to start. What advice would you give him?
Look, there's no secret to success. There is no secret, but the biggest thing you can do for yourself if you're an artist or in any field is hard work. There's no shortcuts. You can't just be there. You have to go on that journey and it's going to take time and it's going to be about the people you connect with. It's going to be lived experiences, life experience. So look, say enjoy the ride, bud, and buckle up. It's going to be a little bit bumpy, but yeah, take the time to have fun and enjoy yourself as well.
I love that. That's really good advice. And just, yeah, have fun.
Have fun.
Yep. All right. And if you could co-write with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why? You can change your answer because it's completely up to you.
Look, I'll stick with Dylan.
Yeah.
Because he was and still is. I don't know, there's a bit of magic about him I just can't put my finger on. It's like he can't sing. is an okay.
That's when you know it's a good song, though, right?
It's an okay play. Still like it. Yeah. It's like Mark Knopfler. Can't sing for shit, but
Leonard Cohen.
Amazing songs. Yeah. Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Tom Waits. All these sort of people that you go, there's no way if you came out today, you would be known because no one would care. Because you don't have the image and you don't have. Yeah, but there's not a market for it at the moment.
And people, well, you would know. I'd have no idea.
Can you imagine Bob Dylan lobbing on the scene right now? What would happen?
I don't know. I'm not in the
If he
scene.
Gets up on American Idol and starts singing.
If you told me a he'd story,
be, he'd be one of those. He'd be one of those outtakes that people laugh at.
Yeah, the indies. Yeah. Like us indies out there trying to change the world one song at a time.
Yeah, and I think it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. But look, Bob Dylan is, one of those amazing writers, and it's the master of his craft. It'd be amazing to see how that worked if we sat in a room together. And I am available, Bob, if you're listening.
Yep. I'll co-write with you, both of you. We'll do a three-way.
Yeah. Oh,
that would be great. That's awesome. And you do a ton of work in the industry supporting the arts. What is it that gets you in and wants you to makes you want to work so hard? Because you work, I'm sure, way harder than they pay you.
I like to see people fulfill dreams, and doing it in music's not easy. It's a hard slog. And people think if you're on the radio or you're getting playing gigs or other things, you've made it. That's part of the journey. A starving artist isn't a concept that was just a joke. It's true. Artists do not make good money, and that's because of those things that we spoke about before. Yeah. Spotify and music's basically a free commodity now, and people choose to pay if they want to.
Mm.
So you've got to make your money in other creative ways, and that's a lot of hard work on the road when you're on the road selling merch. And
we talked about live gigs shutting down in COVID was really challenging because that was carrying the financial burden for most artists. So even the big acts, your tickets these days are 3, 4, 5 times the cost they used to be. But they have to be able to cover the costs of doing what they do. It's just
in those venues as well.
It's incredible. But we pay it because who wouldn't want to be a part of that experience that may be a one-time, lifetime experience? It's music. It brings us together.
Yeah. 100%. I think it'll be the way that everybody gets through this pandemic is, I didn't realise how much I was going to miss live music, man. It's one of those things sitting at home where you're like, okay, you've listened to the albums, watched the live stream, done the YouTube thing.
I got so over live streams.
I'm done.
I'm done with enough. Get rid of the screens. No more screens. All right. Is there anything else you would like to share? Free space. Say whatever you want to say.
Just be good to people. We spoke about this before. And
world peace.
We saw the worst of. No, it doesn't have to be world peace, but it's just, you know what I mean? It's just be nice to each other. Treat people the way that you like to be treated yourself. And the minute we start doing that, there'll be a massive shift in this country and probably that other thing I said as well about just putting your hand up and saying, I don't know. Don't just talk for the sake of it. Be man enough or woman enough to go, look, no, it's not my space to be talking about this. I don't know. Ask an expert.
Even if you think you should know, you don't have to know everything.
Don't have to know.
Yeah. You could be a doctor and not know. It's fine.
There's different types of doctors. A foot doctor's not going to operate on your heart.
No. You know? Well, that would be – hope not. Yeah. You never know.
He doesn't know.
He's got no idea.
No.
Yeah. No, that's good. It is good advice. And I think, that's one thing that really inspired me when I went to Nashville a few years ago is that they work together so well over there. Everyone has their one strength and they don't expect themselves to do everything. Whereas I think growing up for me in Australia – and this idea that you have to do everything on your own and success isn't success unless it's on your own. But imagine if you are successful and you did it all yourself. Who are you going to celebrate with? Yourself?
Hmm.
Yay! Lonely party. That doesn't sound like fun to me. I was going to ask you that. What's your idea of success? Because you mentioned success a few times in this podcast.
Well, again, it's
different for everyone.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. I guess it's being happy with what you do and where you're at, and that's success for me. In my head, I've been successful for a long time because I get up every day and I enjoy what I do. I don't stress about too many things.
I see a few greys.
What's that? That's just getting old, sister. That's just getting old. But no, it's one of those things that, I love my life and love what I do. So for me, that's success, right? Yeah. It's not a big sack of money.
Enjoy the journey.
Or golden bars. Success is if you're content and happy with what you're doing.
Live in the moment.
Living the dream, baby.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Awesome. So where can people find your music and get in contact with you, follow you, socials?
Just everywhere, I suppose, YouTube. We did a clip as well for the song, which was cool. We ended up getting Glenn Scuthorpe, who I'm also a big fan of, who jumped up on the song as well, with some guitar licks and some of his song No More Whispering in there as well, which I was, yeah, put the hairs up because we sent it off to him.
Yeah.
Just going, oh, can you want to put some licks down on this? And he sent back there with his verse in the third verse, and I was just like, whoa, mind blown, goosebumps up.
Yeah.
So I think Glenn should take a lot of credit for his part in this song as well. And yeah, it's Apple, Spotify, all those areas as well, and it's called Can You Hear Us?
Yeah. I'll put the links all in the description of the podcast, and it'll be on the blog on the website. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing your heart with me.
Pleasure. It's really nice to be sitting here with you having a yarn.
Ditto. Thank you.
Cheers. Charlie Colicolor, Perry Noble, Robert Walker, Shawnee Cooler, Albert Dugan, David Dunga, Stanley Brown, Miss Tanya Day, Shannon Owen, Cool Joy Landon, Joyce Egan, Ginger Sampson, Colin Richmond, David Caruso, John Pat, and Warren Cooper.
Thanks for joining our songwriter Trist today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guests, please go to the website songwritertrists.com. Eddie Murray, can you hear me? Maroon Jadulichi, can you hear me? TJ Hickey, can you hear me? Dave Gandhi, can you hear me?